Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics Podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh, and Jim Gibbons is joining me today, as well as a third voice that you will hear, Mr. Paul Aller, who is, amongst other things, going to be working with Andy Schmidt from Comics Experience in a course that'll be happening starting August 14th, which is Perfecting a One-Shot, and that's what we're going to talk about today, one-shots. Before we were rolling, I was making sure I was remembering my Paul Aller history correctly, because I did not have my Paul Aller history books in front of me, that his introduction to Ninja Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle world, included some one-shots, and he's done one-shots on and off. So for many reasons, I am excited that we get to talk to Paul about one-shots. But Paul, thanks for doing this and making the time, and I will try not to just ask Ninja Turtle questions.
Thanks for having me on, and I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, the way that I'm going to just quickly read the description of what Andy's talking about for the course and what you guys are going to be working with folks on, the Perfecting a One-Shot, it's laid out as you only have 20 pages to tell a complete story. What do you need to know to make sure your character stands out and their arcs conclude satisfactorily? Andy Schmidt builds on the basics taught in the introductory writing courses. And Jim, before we jumped into it, you made an interesting point about thinking about one shot. So maybe we jump in there and talk about, you know, how do we define a one shot and what does a one shot do? Because we were also talking about things like Free Comic Book Day, which those can have one shots, or within a greater, you know, story within an ongoing series, maybe that has a one shot, or maybe it's a one shot that ties into things. Maybe it's a series of one shots. One shots.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, you know, when you say one shot, oftentimes it's like, oh, it's a standalone issue, it's a self-contained story, it's, you know, kind of you can pick it up with no knowledge and jump into it on page one, get to page 20, and get a full story out of it. I think kind of the general overarching definition most of us think of with a one shot. But when I was thinking about it, I think there's maybe like two categories of one shot as I kind of think of them. One, which is I'll call them like true singular stories, which is a one shot that really is just that one issue. It's a complete story in and of itself. Doesn't connect to anything else. It's there to just tell its one story. And then maybe there's the other type, which is a standalone issue that is part of a larger entity, whether that's an ongoing series, whether it's a property. And I think while both of them, there's a lot of premises that apply to the same ones, you want to have, you know, kind of as we talked about a signal, a complete arc that concludes within the space of that one shot. There's also, I think, slightly different ways you would handle them based on if the one shot is just going to live in this 120 pages and that, and you have to get all the information in there, and then you have no time to clarify that at a later date, versus a one shot that might introduce the backstory of a character who's going to show up in a upcoming miniseries or something of that nature.
Excellent. And, you know, Paul, I don't know how much you want to talk about or how much you guys have pre-planned for the one shot course, but your background in it, how did you get started? I know folks might not be familiar with Clockwork, but that's where I got to know you and your work, and that was, I don't know, I guess I would have described that as a series of one-shots, but now I feel like I'm on the spot to make sure I don't misspeak about it.
Well, those were five-page stories, and I know the class will focus on like a 20 to 22-page one-shot. Which is more like what people think of when you think of it as like a full comic. But yeah, the first thing I did was a bunch of short stories. The second book I self-published was a one-shot called Work Girl, and it was, like Jim was saying, like a true one-shot. And that was also when I discovered that the thing about one-shots is that people want them to continue if you leave the ending like open-ended at all. Most people read Work Girl, like, even assumed it was an issue one and were like, oh, cool, when's the next one come out? I was like, oh, I felt like I had a pretty definitive ending. So I think that's sort of the nature of comics, is that one-shots are sort of an unexpected beast. But yeah, so and then after that, like you said, the first couple issues I did for the Ninja Turtles, which were my first non-creator-owned published work, were one-shots about the character of Fugitoid and then a one-shot about Shredder in Hell. So yeah.
Well, and so I'll chime in with a question here for you, Paul, because I'm curious. Sure. Like when you're going about something – like Orc Girl, which is truly its own thing and is going to finish, versus something like TMNT, which I know is part of a larger property, so there's some different things there. But did you approach your storytelling in a different way at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the Shredder one-shot, because with the Fugitoid one, I was introducing a new character, and the Turtles were, I think they were only in like one panel in a flashback, and that was because that was a licensor note was, hey, we need the Turtles in here somewhere. So that book kind of was more like a traditional one-shot in that I had to introduce everything and bring everyone up to speed. Whereas with the Shredder one, yeah, like everyone knows who Shredder is. It was a story, like I said, about him in the afterlife. So it was continuing on from the main book. And I was just able to really just plunge right into the story and tell a very fast, compelling, tight story, as opposed to things where, you know, you have to sort of like bring the reader up to speed. Although, yeah, I mean, you can bring the reader up to speed, obviously, while telling a fast story. So I'm not, you know, I feel like I'm denigrating the rest of my work, but you know, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it just comes down to what you can assume the reader knows. So, yeah. And I mean, I know that, you know, the thing you hear a lot is you should assume it's someone's first book. But on the other hand, I don't feel like someone's going to go into the shop and be like, hey, Shredder one shot, I'm going to pick that up, if they're not familiar with the Ninja Turtles property at all.
Who's the Shredder? He seems right. Interesting. What's his
exactly,
story?
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Well, and so,
Appliance?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting because I worked on a one shot last year, and I approached it kind of economically, where I was like, okay, I really only have 22 pages in this comic. And I was like, all right, I kind of want to have, and this is maybe speaks more to me than it is like necessarily advice, but maybe it's one way to think of it. But I was kind of like, all right, I want to have like a three pages at the opening to kind of hook people. Then I really need to introduce our main protagonist, because I've kind of introduced the conflict and some of that. So in like, you know, pages, whatever it was, 4 through 6 or something like that, I was like, all right, I have to introduce this character to make sure we have some touch point on who she is. But I think because one shots are so finite in a way, you know, it is a single package. I always think you got to hit your beats like in a pretty efficient way, because if you're kind of waiting till whatever it is halfway through, whether that's 10 pages, 11 pages, 12 pages, or whatever the format is, I think that's difficult for a reader to get invested if you're not giving them touch points at proper points in the story.
That's very true, and that is something that has come up in this one-shot class before, is the idea that, yeah, you do have people have a tendency to do that, where they sort of backload their story, and you have to make the point that, you know, if you aren't getting to this point until, like, page 15 of your 20-page one-shot, that's like not getting to it until like the end of issue 3 of a 4-issue mini. So you really have to think about that and make every panel count, make every word balloon count. And what's interesting is I do think that doing so many one-shots early on helped me out a lot in the rest of my writing, because I think that even my miniseries and ongoing writing does tend to be very, as you said, economical, and really doesn't try to waste much at all. And I think that's because I was able to sort of train my writing brain with that early on, where even I did my first OGN recently, or long comic, as I like to call them, and for Power Rangers, and I really found myself, like, I went into it thinking, like, all right, I have, you know, I'm going to do interesting things with pacing and do something a little bit different with this, and I kind of had to, like, break myself of, you know, of really, like, rushing to the beats and you know, trying to make everything really work in a tight economic package. So yeah,
anyway, interesting.
So one shot's good. I think they're good training, because I do think that comics right now are kind of plagued by, you know, I don't want to say flabby writing, but I think a lot of comics are written in like a rather leisurely pace. I think you have a lot of issue one comics where like the issue 20 cliffhanger, I feel like, should be the issue 5 page turn. But yeah, and I think it is. So I think it really does help train your writing brain to be economical, if that's something you're interested in doing. Since who am I to judge?
Paul, you and I share this sentiment on most comics these days. But it is. I think the thing is, and it's like, you know, not that and I'm sure we've all, you know, and I won't go, I won't give a whole rundown of what three act structure is in the podcast, right? But it's like there's a lot of storytelling formatting or storytelling, I don't know what you'd call them, maybe like traditional guidelines or something like that, that, you know, it's not that you have to follow them or you can't break them. And obviously many great stories do, but I do think it's kind of that same idea of like, once you understand the three act structure, then you can, you know, do it well, instead of just doing it at all. And then you can go on and do something in a five act structure or mix it up a little bit or play on the conventions of a three act structure. And I do think there's a lot of value in whether it's, you know, short stories, I think are great in this way too, but one shots, you know, you really do have what I feel like, is like, I'm always really interested in format and how people tell a story within a format. And I think one shots give you a nice set, set of parameters to challenge yourself within. I think start with like the basics and make it good and then get creative. But I think that's one of the main advantages of one shots as you've talked about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you, to go back a little bit about being economical with your writing, I guess I tend to try to think of who is my average listener to the podcast. And I think that's kind of variable, but to me, it's somebody who's interested in writer, artist, editor, letterer, colorist, whatever their background. They're interested in learning about the process and getting better. And maybe they're looking to go, you know, I want to go work for Marvel DC. Maybe they want to put out their own stuff, but I always tend to think about it, somebody who's trying to make a thing. And I feel like one shots when I was starting to try to do comics was the, hey, I could try to tell a complete story. I could try to work with an artist who might commit to doing 20, 22 pages, maybe something a little beefier. With a Kickstarter world, an Indiegogo world, maybe I can do a one-shot. And I don't know if both of you feel like maybe that background is how folks get started, but I'm going to kind of look to you if you have any general advice on... You know, Paul, you mentioned that you were able to kind of hone your writing brain down, and now you, I don't know if it's a luxury now or if it's more like, oh, I got to think about, you know, restructuring a little bit with the Power Rangers OGN, but anything that you would advise folks on the writer-artist end as far as, hey, I want to put out a one-shot to kickstart it, to take it to shows and meet an editor, to, you know, show what I can do as a creator?
One big thing I would say, honestly, is just make sure it's actually a one shot. Because a lot of writers or aspiring writers who are starting out do that, but what a lot of times they'll tend to do is really have it be just like a lightly disguised one shot where it's really the first chapter of the, you know, the 80 page thing that they want to do. So, I honestly, if you're starting out and you want to put something out there to, like, you know, get yourself some attention and start building an audience, make it a complete story, both because it will, and make it a story that you have no intention of continuing, just to, like, keep yourself honest and make sure you're going to do that. Because you'll tell a better story that way. You will learn more that way. And also you'll have something you can give to an editor where they know that you can tell a complete story, because, you know, editors can sniff out when you're doing that sort of backdoor pilot type thing, and, you know, they need to know that you can land the plane. So yeah,
I think that's spot on. And I think the other thing is, like, an editor might see, like, if your one shot is not a one shot, it is that kind of like first part of a story. It also might be one of those things where, like, cool, well, this guy or this woman can write like a really nice 10 page action sequence. But that's, you know, that's showing me one thing. It's kind of a little bit like you can't necessarily get a sequential gig as an artist if you're only doing pinups. You got to kind of show people what they need to see to hire you. And I think telling that complete story is definitely a better resume builder than, hey, I just did 20 pages of something. But to that end, I also think a big thing to consider is what your goal is. For your one shot, you know, if your goal is to put together something that's going to help build your career, I think absolutely it has to be a complete, true one shot. If you do have some sort of like longer term plan to slowly kind of kickstart five chapters of a, you know, graphic novel on, you know, some crowdfunding, well, then maybe there's a different way to approach it. But I think generally, a one-shot goal is probably, hey, I got to show people my stuff. And to do that properly, you should really, as Paul says, script a true one-shot.
I don't know, because my experience doing comics was so much getting under the hood and doing new drafts and understanding things a little bit better. I think comics is one of those things where it's a lot of doing. You have to make a comic to understand how to make a comic. But the thing that I think I've struggled with at times is thinking through stories and realizing like, oh, this feels like 3 issues versus, oh, this is 5 issues, or hey, this could be a, quote, ongoing. It's trying to make those muscles, trying to build those muscles where I understand this is the length of the story, and then having someone else give you that feedback to say, whether it's an editor or a peer or you're doing something, through Comics Experience to say, hey, you know what, this sounds like a great one shot. I don't know if I'm coming at the same question that I just asked at a different angle, but that I don't know if that's a common area where people find that they might have a little bit of struggle, or they might make a mistake in thinking that, oh, this is really long, or it's the opposite of, hey, just trim a bunch of this out because you don't need it, and it would be a great one shot. Is there any? And I know there's not a magic bullet in general for solving a lot of comic approaches, but anything that really is like a good sniff test that you guys have feel, we're talking about different book lengths, we're talking about modern comics sometimes feeling like, oh, you built this entire first arc to do something that seems like it could have been the first issue. Your page reveals, your page turns, your big exposition isn't happening till much later because it feels like you want to build, a trade library, which is understandable.
I think, I think it's a really interesting question, Joey, because, like, and maybe a way to maybe look at it a little bit is looking at other mediums, right? Like, right now, a new Avengers movie clocks in at like 3 hours, but that's not where the Marvel movies like started. They had to really sell people on like whatever it ended up being, an hour and 45-minute Iron Man movie or something like that to get things rolling. I think once you have an audience in place, like once there is a readership there for something like that, maybe you can go a little bit longer. Maybe you can figure out a little bit like how you're going to get creative with your storytelling. But I think a good way to keep your one shot from getting too unruly is probably the same way you would think about, there being too much of anything, right? Like, you really do only have 20 pages. So if you're like, well, we're going to have 3 action scenes and 20 pages, and we're going to make sure that there's also like a satisfying emotional conclusion, that's not impossible, but you might be like biting off more than you can actually fit in those pages unless you're doing like all 9-panel grids or something like that. So I think you got to keep in mind your space, like from a movie standpoint, right? If you're only shooting so much film, so to speak, you got to make sure you're hitting the right shots as opposed to just like getting, hours and hours and hours of footage.
No, that makes sense. I think that is a great way to think about it and approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think a couple of signs you might be like veering into that territory where you're like trying something a little too ambitious is one thing is like one shots tend to not have very many characters. So if you have like a really deep bench in your story, that might, you might have a little bit of trouble struggling with that. Another thing that I find a lot is when people do like a massive amount of world building for a very short story, because then especially like, and that's not bad in and of itself, but it becomes bad when especially newer writers tend to want to like put all of that world building on the page. And so a lot of times I think that shorter comics and one shots tend to just become sort of this like this parade of cool stuff that the writer came up with, and the story can kind of get shunted over to the side a little bit.
That does. I've definitely seen that a lot in my experience as well. And I think and I get it. It's very easy to get excited about the process of creation and to want to get every good idea you've had into a single thing. But it's also the kind of advice I often, as an editor, go back to people with the most when I'm looking at pitches or I'm looking at early drafts, which kind of boils down to like, well, what's the point of this story? Like, what is the real story you're telling here? It's not that the economy of this world is built around this 200-year history, or necessarily, it's not about the whatever it might be. It's not about the political ramifications about, years and years of dragons ruling kingdoms or whatever it might be. That's
Right.
the world it takes place in. But it's got to be about someone, some protagonist who wants something and what they're doing to get that, or whether that's an emotional thing, a physical thing. But I think all good story really revolves around character arcs. And so again, it's like you have a short amount of time. You've got to hit certain beats in a story about a character in 20 pages. So yeah, you don't have time for an 8-page introduction to the world.
Right.
You need to get rolling on who this person is and what they want quick.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
I really like how you both of you broke that down, because it does seem like you can get so caught up, and again, I refer back to my earlier attempts to do comics, and the first time having somebody even do breakdowns of what I was trying to do as far as my writing, and realizing, oh, I am wasting so much time and so much real estate with stuff that just doesn't matter, and it really helped me to your point, understand how to approach story and really trying to make it about what is the story here to give people, just what the right amount of information that they need. The funny thing about film sometimes when you hear people talk about exposition, I don't know if it's still as commonplace, but I'd always hear you can cut out the first 20 minutes of most movies and it doesn't matter because it's all just exposition that doesn't really do anything for you to get to your story. I don't know that comics, has that rule or has had that in the past. It seems like so much of the language of comics, and maybe this is more like, oh, well, Batman, he's this, or Wonder Woman, she's this. The Superman story is this. It seems like you can get away with doing, a quote done in one or a one-shot Superman story because everybody's got the basic understanding of Superman to the Shredder point. Oh, we know Turtles, we know Shredder. Cool. I'm picking this up, but I don't need to know a lot more than that. I don't know if that thinking needs to come into play more into, your OGN or your 20-page one shot that you're doing to be your create your own series, but I don't know if that's I haven't thought that to any kind of logical conclusion of does that make sense to try to think about it in terms of, well, how would I make this a super not make this a Superman story, but approaching with that same toolkit of, hey, it's a detective story. People understand detective stories. I gotta, like you said, make it about character and make it about that arc and that story and not get too trapped behind the world building that ultimately is like, eh. Seems like wasted space.
I think that does come into play. I think it's kind of what we were talking about earlier about, the comics that were the page 20 should be page 5. Like especially if you're doing genre comics, like you're not reinventing the wheel. And I do think that writers tend to not give readers enough credit for their own storytelling savvy and their ability to like pick up on things. So I think, yeah, I think a lot of newer writers assume that the reader is going to take much longer to pick up on things than they actually are.
I think that's a good point. And I think the tricky thing in comics when you think about like telling a good one-shot story is with, crossover, like big superhero crossovers and stuff where like you'll have a 5-page backup at the end of every issue that's like some character who's now starring in this thing's life story told in 5 pages. Which is hopefully done in a way that is compelling in and of itself, but is sometimes just supplemental material to another story. There's so many examples of stories being told where they don't often follow the necessary formula of, hey, let's make sure this is a good short story, even though it's just a backup material or something like that. But I would have to think, and this is, kind of in my experience what it is, but and I'd love to hear your take on this, Paul, is I would think almost especially when the characters aren't yours, right? Like you're being hired, whether it's a license, whether it's a big superhero thing, like you're not going to be able to, with a lot of these, like kill somebody off in a one shot. You know, you're not going to be able to drastically change the world. So I think leaning on character is often a way that you can tell a compelling story when you can't just demolish everything.
I think that's absolutely true. Yeah, and I do find that in my own writing. But yeah, like you said, like and usually like the plot wise, the destination is usually given to you when you're writing a licensed one shot. Like, you know, with Fugitoid, they told me what had to be revealed by the end of it. And so yeah, I mean, I tend to lean into just telling a good emotional arc that, you know, goes alongside the plot arc that maybe isn't as big as I would otherwise like it to be. So yeah, I know that I tend to like I grew up on science fiction and genre stuff as well, but I also grew up a lot on literary fiction, I think a lot more than a lot of my peers. And so I find myself kind of falling back on that, where, you know, I'm sort of writing like quotidian New Yorker short stories that happen to have like dinosaurs and lasers in them. So yeah.
It's I and I was this is going back to something you mentioned, Joey, about like some, I don't know, like rules or things that you can use to kind of help you make sure your story is like maybe fit for a one shot. I had a friend of mine who's a very good writer giving me he was giving me notes on something I was writing at some point, and he rattled off a piece of advice, which is obviously something that he's probably heard since he was, you know, in like screenwriting school or something like that. It was such like a common bit of advice, the way he said it, and yet I don't feel like I had heard someone say that to me in a very long time. But his advice was like, begin your story as close to the ending as you possibly can. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind, because it's like, yeah, you can always add on scenes. You know what I mean? You could always start a little earlier. You could always, you know, be like, well, actually, there's something from this, you know, character's childhood, and maybe we should do a flashback scene to kick it off and all that. You can always stretch things out, but I think if you really think of it that way, you got to go, okay, what are the most essential scenes, you know? And in a one shot, you maybe have 5 to 6 scenes realistically. It's like if you have to tell a story in that amount of time, how are you going to do it? You can't have a scene that's wasted space in there.
Yeah. Also, that's a really good point.
One shots. We've solved one shots. Once again,
Yes.
comics experience, make comics podcast, solving comics.
Excellent. Also, can I clarify something that's been like rattling around in my head since the last time I spoke?
Yeah.
Right. I said that I have like more of a literary background than a lot of my peers. I just wanted to clarify that. I mean, like, I grew up reading the genre known as literary fiction, because after I said that, I was like, did it sound like I was calling people illiterate? Is that going to be well understood? So anyway, please continue. Now that I've cleared
Oh, now that I can stop being personally offended.
Oh, I get it. I like to look at pictures with my words, Paul. I understand.
Do you know, though, I think like a small little transition we can jump off of from here, though, is I think, again, like much like any sort of creative endeavor, take a look at you know, if you're trying to craft a good one shot, take a look at one shots that you thought were good or have had some form of impact on your life, or even, you know, take a look at crappy one shots and be like, why does this not work? You know, like it is a format that, you know, for years comics were all written as one shots, essentially, even as part of a larger series. They were all done in one stories. I think it was around the time that the Defenders TV show came on. I went back and I read a bunch of the original Roy Thomas Defenders run. And it is, it's like he crams like, and I think that's when issues were maybe still at 28 or 30 pages. So there was more space in an issue, but you know, he crammed a lot of character arcs for oftentimes 2 or 3 characters into that space. And it still feels good. And there's an economy to that storytelling, where those reads also feel a lot longer than like a single issue these days feels, which is a stylistic thing that's changed a little bit. But again, it's like you can tell a lot of story in a short amount of time. You just got to make sure you're telling the right story in that time, to make it effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
little something called Amazing Spider-Man. No, Amazing Fantasy number 15. Right, Spider-Man was originally. I guess all of that was one shot, right? Am I misremembering how comics work? The a lot of the stuff that seemed like it was, I don't know, your EC Comics kind of revolving, different characters each week kind of thing. I might be going back to, mischaracterizing Clockwork being 5-page stories, but thinking about the shorter stories, so much of that economy comes into play in something like, oh, well, yeah, Spider-Man, I know his origin, but that at the time, I don't know that that was supposed to be the face that launched, 1,000 movies and 1,000 comics. It was a done in one story. I was trying to think through what are some iconic non-tied to superhero one shots, and I'm struggling outside of stuff that might be more into the OGN territory. I didn't do a lot of pre-planning with that, but I feel like you always hear about the man who has everything, Superman story, and Spider-Man came to mind as kind of those one-offs, but again, too superhero-y, perhaps.
I was gonna say, I feel like I hesitate to jump in because I'm sure my memory. I just looked up while you were talking if it was Roy Thomas who actually wrote those Defenders issues, because I was like, if I was wrong, somebody's gonna go, oh, what an idiot. I'm gonna write my one shot's gonna be 120-page scene.
Language.
This guy. Pardon me. I think that might be my first F-bomb on the Comic Book Experience podcast.
I don't know, Jim, if you've listened, but at other times people have sworn it has been bleeped in different ways.
Oh, well,
So,
now I'm excited to hear what my bleep might be.
little Comics Experience Easter eggs.
Well, in that case.
Man, whoever edits this is going to have the most amount of work they've ever had editing the podcast.
It's just gonna be, you just cut out like a full
Nobody,
30 seconds there, and you're like,
no be
bringing,
none the
wiping
wiser.
your hands. I think the thing is, and I think, again, that's the thing. A lot of comics did begin on this idea of this was not readership built on long form storytelling or long term continuity initially. It was on the newsstand now. It was never being collected. The only way you were going to read the previous issue was if you had bought it or you got it from a friend. The only way you were going to get the next issue is if you went to the newsstand and you got there in time to pick it up next month or whatever it might be. And so, the industry definitely evolved on that type of storytelling. And now, because graphic novels are really the way the industry makes money instead of newsstand comics, the type of storytelling that's told has evolved as well. But again, it's always the same thing. It's always, format changes, but good story is good story, I think. So, if it wouldn't work in as the format of graphic novel, is like Paul's kind of mentioned, if your page 20 is like where you really need to have your page five, or your issue five has events that really need to happen in issue three, that's not going to read well to people regardless of the length.
Well, I don't know if you have any closing thoughts, but to wrap up, I'll reiterate that there is the upcoming workshop at Comics Experience that starts on August 14th with Paul and Andy talking specifically about one-shots, and comicsexperience.com always has a conversation in the Creators Workshop, and that has been it's an ongoing and relevant source for whatever you want to talk about, because you can go in and post a question and say, "Hey, I want to talk about one shots. What are your favorites?" Or check mine out. How does it play? Any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
I had one at least, and I will say this. I think, while kind of speaking to that history of comics, while the delivery method has changed to graphic novels for how more people consume, I think, their first comic, I know for sure my first comic was a one shot. My first comic was a PSA comic I got at my allergist's office called Captain America Meets the Asthma Monster. And that, like, legitimately is like a single story. Captain America fights the asthma monster, and then he helps a kid with his asthma, the end. And that is what got me going on comics. So I do think there's a unique experience with the one shot, in that it can be, it's like when you're a kid, you're not often getting $20, $40 or whatever it is to go buy a few graphic novels, you might get a few bucks to try out a comic. So I do think there's a cool element. You know, Joey, I think you mentioned with your daughter a free comic book a day issue recently, like kind of got her hooked on something. And I think there's a cool thing there about one shots, and taking a lot of pride in a good one shot story is a worthwhile thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Paul, PaulAller.com. I know you're active on Twitter at Paul Aller. You have Samurai Jack that is announced. Yep. And Paul, what's the format for Samurai Jack?
Samurai Jack is a series of four one-shots.
Water spit tank.
Yes. Whoa. Issue one is on the stands now. Issues 2, 3, and 4 are coming out this month, next month, and the month after that, presumably.
And Power Rangers OGN is also on the horizon.
Yep, Power Rangers OGN, featuring the Power Rangers in Space cast, but mostly featuring their enemies, the Psycho Rangers. It's called Power Rangers the Psychopath. That's coming out in October. So, and also relevant to this discussion, I have a very big thing, probably my biggest book ever, being announced next month. It's a licensed book, and it's going to lean very heavily into one-shots as well. I'm kind of, you know, I guess I'm doing a little bit throwback because I'm doing the format Jim was talking about. We're going to be sort of like building arcs through a series of one-and-dones. So I think that when people know what book I'm talking about, they'll be like, oh yeah, that makes sense for that book. And that gets me excited, and I want to pre-order it and support it and read it.
You can just go ahead and
tell
us.
That's what they're all going to say.
It sounds fine. I think that's fine.
I cannot.
Everybody will keep it quiet. Just tell us what it is. All right.
Wait till next month.
I think the point is, if you take this course on one-shots, you too can have a successful career of one-shot writing, like Paul Aller.
I did take this course like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah.
It all comes around.
We should write a one-shot about it.
And you have other things that are yet to be announced that are also coming out, and it sounds like in 2019 and then beyond. So follow you at Paul Aller. I know you're also on Instagram, where I'm going to go ahead and say I'm totally there for your dog. It's
That's all my Instagram is.
Not so comics heavy, but if you enjoy great dogs, you go find Paul on Instagram and see Short Round and In Action. Yep. And Jim is on Twitter at the Jim Gibbons, and you can follow Jim there and get his great newsletter. I know you have information about subscribing to your newsletter, which is all about making comics and is pretty great. And you can get a lot of swearing there that's uncensored.
That's true. No one's censoring my newsletter. I also have, I don't think I've mentioned this in a podcast, but I did a comic illustrated by my buddy Caleb Golner that is now free on Tapas Media, which is tapas.io, TAPAS, and then it's Birch Squatch, The Last Bigfoot. It's a futuristic sci-fi Bigfoot environmentalist revenge story, and it's free to read.
And would this be a one shot? Is that?
I you know what it is a graphic novella. Speaking of formats that probably don't get as much love, but no, I mean, you know, it is. Yeah, maybe it's a long one shot. We'll just call it that.
I think we're tuning in next week for graphic novella. I think that's the next topic that has been set up.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to not launch your career? Write a graphic novel.
A cautionary tale told in two parts. With everything we've talked about on the show, if you want to hear stuff that a question that you've had about comics talked about on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com or tweet @comicsexperience.com, and we will talk about it here. Paul, thank you again for doing this and making the time. It's always fun to talk to you, and especially about something like one shots. Well, until next time, keep making the comics.